For Tuesday, the 20th of September, 2022, this is Toyota Tux Games, episode 229. So, I've mentioned before that I've taken more and more time in between episodes. In the beginning, I would do an episode every day, and then it started sliding into a couple of times a week, and then once a week. And then less often, but this has got to be the record for the most time passed between episodes. I was looking back now, and I haven't released an episode since in July, so it's been a couple of months at least since the last installment. And I've just haven't really felt like doing one. I didn't feel like I had much to talk about, and sometimes I've just haven't felt like I had the time, and just not in the mood. But I thought I would get something in. I'm not sure what this episode's going to entail, but we have had a couple of set releases and rotation since the last episode, so quite a lot has happened. Of course, we're talking Magic the Gathering Arena as per usual. So Baldur's Gate was the first release, I really liked a lot. It felt like it flew by really quickly. Of course, it was an Alchemy release, so it kind of quote unquote doesn't count according to some people. I really like the Alchemy format. I started out being like curious, but over time it's grown on me, and I like to play around with a lot of the cards in there. So, of course, on the flip side, I usually don't play Alchemy, plain Alchemy. That feels a little too limited. I'm really into historic in general, but especially because you can play the Alchemy cards in there. So. Really opens up the amount of options that are available to you. So, Baldur's Gate, I've been playing around a lot with different decks, experiments with the cards from Baldur's Gate. Haven't landed on anything particular. Just been doing a lot of different experiments. But one card that I have incorporated into one of my existing decks is Jan Jansen, Chaos Crafter. It's a legendary creature, Gnome Artificer, at rare. It costs a red, a white, and a black. And it's a 3/3. It has haste, and you can tap it to sacrifice an artifact creature to create two treasure tokens. Or you can sacrifice a non-creature artifact and create two 1/1 colorless construct artifact creature tokens. So, perfect fit into my Mecha Anvil deck. I believe I've mentioned it before, but this is a historic deck I built around Oni Cult Anvil, and what's the name of them? Oh yeah, here we go. What's it called? Mech Titan Core. So the deck, of course, it's all about creating artifact creatures on the cheap and quickly to activate the Mech Titan Core and go in for the win. And the Jan Janssen can help quite a bit in that area. So turning your unwanted artifacts into artifact creatures, and then also whenever an artifact creature is threatened or you need some more mana, you could turn a creature into a couple of treasures. So really handy in there. I have three copies of it in this deck. So the deck consists of four Stonecoil Serpents, which is perfect to stick in whichever slot in the curve you happen to need it in. So you can get it out for as a 1/1 or a 2/2, 3/3, 4/4, or so on. I find usually the sweet spot is a 2/2 because don't have all that many 2-drops in this deck, but I have quite a bit of other like 3-drops and 4-drops or 1-drops. And usually you don't want to sort of waste a Stonecoil Serpent on a 1/1 drop if you can avoid it. So anyway, for those, I have three portable holes. I have one Basilisk Collar, which is also a Baldur's Gate card. It's a artifact equipment at rare for one. And the equipped creature has Death Touch and Lifelink, and it equips for two. Then three Deadly Disputes, perfect way of turning those creatures that are about to be killed into some more mana and some more cards. Of course, the Onycult Anvil, which is the engine of the whole system, making sure you get a artifact creature the first time you sacrifice any artifact during your turn. And of course, you can also tap it to do one damage and gain a life as you sacrifice an artifact to it. Of course, the Mech Titan Core, four of those. Patchwork Automaton, Automaton. Nice little irritating construct artifact creature at uncommon. This is from Kamigawa. Patchwork Automaton costs two. It has Ward 2, and whenever you cast an artifact spell, put a 1/1 counter on Patchwork Automaton. So this one's going to go off pretty quickly and start growing and have that annoying Ward 2 to protect it as well. Two Reckoner Bank Buster to help with the draw. Since it will allow you to draw twice and then creates a treasure and a 1/1 colorless pilot creature, which I've mistakenly taken as an artifact creature a few times and thought I was going to be able to sacrifice it to Jan or the Cult Anvil, but to no avail. Servo Schematic is a perfect match with the anvil since it's an artifact that comes in and creates a 1/1 colorless servo artifact creature. And then also when it leaves the battlefield, you create yet another one. So you play it to get a creature, and then you sacrifice it to the anvil, giving you a creature from the anvil and from this card. So kind of a total of three for one, which is really nice. Next up, Forsaken Monument, a couple of those. Most of these cards are colorless and artifacts, so the monument helps with that. And since I have the monument, I have two Ugins as well as like a backup plan in case I'm not able to get the Mech Titan core going. And then for the lands, most of these are Old Faithfuls for creating colorless mana and also colored mana. So I have a bunch of the deserts. I have the Shefet Dunes, which produces either a colorless or you can pay a life to add a white. Also, you can pay two and a white-white, sacrifice a desert to create for creatures you control to get plus one until end of turn. And you can activate that only as a sorcery. I've only used this maybe once. Usually doesn't come up. Then there's the Black Desert, the Ifnir Deadlands. Same abilities there, a colorless, or pay one life for a black. Or you can pay two and black, sacrifice a desert, and put two minus one counters on target creature and opponent controls. Also, just at sorcery speed. This one I've used a fair bit, actually. Can be handy in a pinch. Next up is the Red Desert, the Ramunap Ruins, which besides the same mana abilities, but creating a red for one life, it also has pay two and red, sacrifice a desert, and Ramunap Ruins deals two damage to each opponent. This one you can do at instant speed, so this is more versatile, and I've used this a few times as well. It's a nice little game ender or to help you that extra bit towards it. I've been using the don't have it in here anymore, so I don't remember the name of it. Probably check here, but previously I had the artifact land, or not artifact land, but colorless land that would let you scry when it came into play, but it was just you just tapped it for a colorless before, but with Dominaria, the Dominaria set. We now have a better version of that, so it's Crystal Grotto, which also enters the battlefield and allows you to scry one, and you can add a colorless mana, but you can also pay one mana to add one mana of any color. So that little bit extra value is welcomed, since I do need a little bit of black, red, and a white in the deck. I seem to have backed out of the deck. That was not my intent. Besides that, we have the usual or the maybe expected set of the lands. Spire of Industry is really good in this deck. It produces a colorless mana, or you can pay one life and add one mana of any color if you control an artifact. So it does have that caveat. So sometimes you get stuck with that in the beginning, and you need to play your Onycult Anvil, and you don't have any red or black mana, and that's a bummer. But usually it'll help you. I have a couple of hostile hostiles, which I don't think I've activated more than once, maybe, but it's also a backup plan. You could sacrifice a creature there if you think you have will be able to activate it. Then one single copy of Inventor's Fair, which is just nice to get some extra life as soon as you have three or more artifacts. Also, you could sacrifice it to search for an artifact, but I've only ever done that when it was like the last thing I was able to do before I was killed. It's never really helped me. And then a single treasure vault, which is mostly in here because it's an artifact and a land, so it triggers patchwork automaton and things like that, and you can also sacrifice it to the anvil or the jan or so forth. But of course, you could also create a bunch of treasures, which could be useful. So, fun deck to play. It's not super successful, I would say. It's let's see if I even have any stats on this. In ranked, it's only at 33%, which is really bad. But I've only played 3 matches, so it doesn't really seem very fair. But in play queue, let's see what we have. A lot better. 80% win rate. Of course, there it's just 4-1 in this version. But good stats there. So I might bring this into ranked at some point if I feel like it. But for now it's more just like a palette cleanser kind of deck I play in the play queue every now and then. Another deck which I have been playing a fair amount now, based on a Dominaria card, is my black draw deck. This one I've been having a lot of fun and success with. It's currently at 56% win rate in ranked, and let me get my deck list. Where is it? Here it is. It's revolves all around the let's see, I haven't even read this name aloud. I think She Aldred the Apocalypse, which is a one of the favorite cards from Dominaria for many, and for good reason. It's a mythic rare legendary creature, Phyrexian Praetor. It's a 4/5, and it costs 2 and black. It has Death Touch, and whenever you draw a card, you gain 2 life, and whenever an opponent draws a card, they lose 2 life. So, of course, wanted to build a deck all around that mechanic, getting your opponent to draw cards and getting yourself to draw cards, and reaping the life rewards from that. Of course, I went back to one of my old favorites, my Obnixilis deck. I think it was called Back in Black, Obnixilis Back in Black or something. It was built all around Obnixilis, the Hate Twisted, a legendary planeswalker. It's only at uncommon, costs 3 in black, and it reads, whenever an opponent draws a card, Obnixilis, the Hate Twisted, deals 1 damage to that player. It has 5 loyalties, and for -2, you can destroy a target creature. Its controller draws 2 cards. I haven't even really thought about the fact that you could do this on your own creature to get 2 cards and a bunch of life. But anyway, well, no, it actually does damage to you as well. But you'd get life from the Shieldred. But anyway, those two in combination start doing a bunch of damage to your opponent. And of course, I needed to build a shell all around it. So I have a few other creatures that have other draw mechanics. The first one that came to mind, of course, or not of course, but the first one that came to mind for me, this is since this is an a historic deck is Clackbridge Troll, which is a nasty 8/8 trample haster, but it gives your opponent 3/0/1 white goat creatures and the ability to, at the beginning of combat on your turn, the opponent may sacrifice a creature, and if so, Clackbridge Troll is tapped, and you gain 3 life, and you draw a card. So, in combination with the Obnixilis and the Sheol Dread, that's a pretty good and powerful bonus there, that even if they sacrifice a creature, they give you 3 life, they give you a card, and they give you another couple of lives, perhaps from Sheol Dread, so that's really nice. Of course, Shakedown Heavy, another of the newer cards I just dropped the name out of my head. What's that set called? Before Baldur's Gate, the Mafia set. I forgot what it's called. You know which one I mean. Anyway, Shakedown Heavy also gives the opponent the option to, when it's attacking, to untap it and remove it from combat and give you a card instead. Of course, if you have Sheol Dread in play, you get a couple of extra lives from that as well. Other ones in here, Foulmire's Knight, which is, besides being a good defender, since it has a 0/1 death touch, it's a 1/1 death touch creature, it will dissuade your opponent from attacking you. But you can also use the adventure side to draw an extra card. You lose 1 life, but if you have Sheol Dread in play, you're actually gaining 1 life instead. I have 3 Legion's End, which is good against critter decks, and also getting rid of those goats ahead of time. Deck also has 3 Tenacious Underdogs, which are Capenna, New Capenna, that's the deck. That's the name of the set I'm looking for. So this is also from New Capenna. This also has the Blitz cost, which is 2 and a black, and you pay 2 life, and then Tenacious Underdog comes into play with haste, but you have to sacrifice at the end of turn, and you get a card. So, of course, you're getting this card for no life if you have Sheol Dread in play. So you can just keep playing this every turn to get it back out of the graveyard for another attack, which is really nice. Cuspal of Celestis is nice to ramp up the mana, and also that also gives you a chance to draw a card and replace something you don't need. Maybe get some extra life if your Sheol Dread didn't play, as well as getting life from Celestis. Baleful Mastery. Usually the drawback there is that you, when you pay just 1 and a black, the opponent draws a card, but if you have Sheol Dread in play, they're losing 2 life as well, so it's a pretty nice deal. 4 Invoke Despair, which also allows you to draw extra cards usually if your opponent can't sacrifice all 3 of the permanents. And then on the land side, I have a couple of Castle Lochwain, which usually are like a last-ditch resort, or you need to have a lot of life to feel like you, or not a lot of cards in hand, to feel like you can, it can be worth it. But if you have Sheol Dread in play, that dissuades some of the cost, so it can be pretty good to use it. Bonder's Enclave is the same, allows you to draw a card if you're a creature with power 4 or greater, which this deck has quite a few of. And the other, I have a couple of Rankle in here, which is also like a nice little Swiss Army knife of a tool. And one card that I had yet to find a good home for, but that seems to fit very well here, is a single copy of Eater Virtue. Also from, or this is from Kamigawa and Neon Dynasty. It's a artifact, a legendary artifact equipment at rare for one. And whenever equipped creature dies, exile it. And it reads equipment creature gets plus two, plus O. But the nice feature is also that it says, as long as a card exiled with Eater of Virtue has flying, equipped creature has flying. The same is true for First Strike, Double Strike, Death Touch, Haste, Hexproof, Indestructible, Lifelink, Menace, Protection, Reach, Trample, and Vigilance, and equipped for just one. So, just to start off, it's a it gives a bonus of plus two, plus O, for one casting cost and one equip cost, which equip cost, which is a fairly okay price, I guess. But of course, then it starts getting abilities based on the creatures that it has been equipped to that have died. And we have quite a few different abilities in this deck that it can start getting. We have Death Touch with the Filemire Knight and the Sheoldred, Tenacious Underdog has Tenacious Dog Underdog actually doesn't have anything, but Shakedown Heavy has Menace. We have Rankle, which is has flying and haste. And the Clackbridge Troll, which has, besides haste, also has a trample. So quite a lot of different abilities that you can start shuffling around. I've had quite a few creatures get flying and haste through this, which is really nice. But yeah, so that's the deck. A lot of fun to play it. And we'll see how far it gets me. It's been I've been slowly moving up through platinum with it. I'm up to platinum 3 at the moment. On the verge of getting into 2, I think. But we'll see. Well, I've been running quite some while now on these two decks, but I think I need to cut it short here. Hopefully, it won't be 2 months until the next episode. See ya.